Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kedushin is Nun Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Zech and Ishmas Libik Avriel Bashmul. We are today on Nadal and Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. We are starting very, very top. Amar Ula Mishmed Bar Pada. Okay, let's chazen. There are two discussions that we're having based on a mission that we saw back on Nun Beis Amud Beis. The mission Nun Beis Amud Beis told us that if a Kohen receives portions of a carbon, either kachim or kachim kalim, and if a Yisrael receives his portions of the shlamim of his kachim kalim, so I can't go over to a woman and be mikadosher with those portions. Why not? Because they're not his. They're going to eat it, but they're going to eat it because they're eating mishuchan gavola. So from the table up on high, but it's not theirs, and therefore they cannot be mekadesh with them. You have to be mekadesh with money that belongs to you. That was the first part of the Mishnah, the Daf Nun Gimel. The Gemara spent some time discussing whether there is a machlokas tanaim about this issue or not, but that was the first part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah is Maaser Sheni. I want to be mekadesh a woman with Maaser Sheni, so that's a machlokas tanaim whether it belongs to you or it does not belong to you. Reb Meir says it does not belong to you. Reb Meir is of the opinion that Maaser Sheni is mamon gavoa. Reb Yehuda is of the opinion that Maaser Sheni is mamon hejot. So, based on that simple machlokas, basic machlokas, so once again, it would fall out very simply. According to Rav Meir, I can't be mekadesh with Maaser Sheni. The money doesn't belong to me. I have the right to eat Maaser Sheni, but I can't eat it. I'm sorry, I don't own it. I can't be mekadesh with it. I can't do anything with it other than eat it. Mashen Ken, according to Rav Yehuda, it's my money. It's my money, so therefore I can be mekadesh a woman with that money. So once again, that's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, whether or not you could be mekadesh with Maaser Sheni. It gets a little bit more detailed than that because even according to Rav Meir, it simply does not work. That's easy. According to Rav Yehuda, there is a difference between shogeg and mezid. Bemezid, it does work because it's yours. Shogeg, it doesn't work. But that's as we explained already on the daf a couple days ago. That's because if it's shogeg and you forget that it's Maaser Sheni, she doesn't want it. She doesn't want to have to schlep it to Yerushalayim in order to eat it. So that's the b'shogeg. According to Rav Yehuda, it doesn't work. And then the last thing we discussed is being mekadesh using hekdesh. Something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and you are now taking it and trying to be mekadesh with that item. So really, this touches on the issue of Me'ilah. There is an Isser in the Torah of Me'ilah, where if you take something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and you misappropriate it, so then the item, you violate Me'ilah, and the item is Yotzei L'chul, and the item goes out from being Kodesh to now being Chul. So, can you be mekadesh a woman with Hekdesh? So here, once again, in the Mishnah, we had a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Shita is as straightforward as it can come. Rav Yehuda Shita is, if you do it b'shogeg, so then the Kedushin is going to be chal. The Kedushin will be valid. Why? Because, as we went through the Pesukim yesterday, the Torah, when describing the Isser of Me'ilah, the Torah is describing shogeg. Meaning, when do I violate Me'ilah? Only when I did it inadvertently. Meaning, I forget right now, I forgot that this item belongs to Hekdesh. I take this item, I go over to a woman, I want to be Mekadesh with this item. So if I do so in a state of shogeg, so then I violate the Isser of Me'ilah and the item is Yotzei L'chulin. And therefore the Kedushin is valid. Now, granted, all the ramifications of me violating Me'ilah, which means I have to make full restitution, I have to add another 25%, I have to bring carbon Me'ilah. All that will take effect, but because I violated Me'ilah, therefore the item is Yotzei L'chulin, therefore the Kedushin works. According to Rav Yehuda, if I do so b'mezid, if I intentionally, I know it's Hekdesh, and I try to be Mekadesh a woman using the Hekdesh, it simply doesn't work. Why? Because according to Rav Yehuda, you're not violating Me'ilah b'mezid. Nothing happens b'mezid. The item still remains in a state of Hekdesh. Okay, ad kan shitas Rav Yehuda, that as I said, is easy, straightforward. And then we get to yesterday, the shita of Rav Meir. And the Shita of Rav Meir had the Gemara's head spinning. Shita of Rav Meir is b'mezid, the Hekdesh is Yotzei L'chulin. B'shogeg, the Hekdesh is not Yotzei L'chulin. Now, which one should we attack first? Let's attack the Shogeg first. Shogeg, the item is not Yotzei L'chulin. Why not? Why isn't the item Yotzei L'chulin if I inadvertently take an item that belongs to Hekdesh and try to be Mekadesh a woman with it? Why shouldn't it work b'shogeg? So, as the Gemara here offers two basic pshatim of the shita of Rav Meir. So the pshat, which is Rav Yochanan's pshat, which we're going to see is basically going to be the pshat that we're going to work with for basically the remainder of today, is Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you why. Because no one wants to be a party to Me'ilah. Meaning, I don't want to take an item from Hekdesh and deconsecrate it, and she doesn't want to do it either. And so therefore, if we're both shogeg, and later we discover, hey, this item belonged to Hekdesh, so both of us are going to turn around and say, well, we don't want that to happen, meaning we want the marriage, but we don't want the me'ilah, so therefore, b'shogeg, we're both basically saying, we wouldn't have wanted to have done that. That's Rav Yochanan's explanation of Rav Meir. However, b'mezid, if I do so intentionally, I clearly know what I'm doing. I know that this item belongs to Hekdesh, and I want to be mechala this item. I want to deconsecrate the item. So if a person does it, b'mezid, so therefore it's going to be work, it's going to be valid, the kedushin will be valid, and again, with all the ramifications, according to Rabbi Meir, of actually being mo'be Hekdesh. That is Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Meir. Well, yesterday we learned a different approach to Rav Meir, that of Rav. I'll mention it quickly. Rav says that I disagree with Rav Yochanan. I can't imagine that when the Torah introduces us to the topic of Me'ilah, and the Torah very clearly says Shogeg, that there's not going to be Me'ilah by Shogeg. It's just hard to imagine. So Rav says that the Mishnah over here is talking about a very limited scenario, and that is Big Day Kahuna. Big Day Kahuna, where the Kohen was given standard issue of his Big Day Kahuna, even though that was paid for by the funds that were collected, the machzis hashekel that was collected annually, and even though those clothing have kedusha, they're hekdesh, still the Kohen's allowed to wear it, not only when he does the avoda, but even when he finishes the avoda as well, as long as he's wearing the clothing, and the clothing are fit to be used for the avoda, so he's not in violation of me'ilah. So that is what the Mishnah is talking about, says Rav, and that's the only thing the Mishnah is describing. Okay. Adkan, that is just a quick summary of what we've seen up until now. We are in the very top of Nun Dalam and Beis. Amar Ula Mishmei Debar Padna. Now, as Rashi points out over here, Ula is going to be assuming like Rav Yochanan's Pshat in Rabbi Meir, not Rav's Pshat in Rabbi Meir. Amar Ula Mishmei Debar Padna. Omer Hayir Rabbi Meir Hekdesh Bemezim Mischala B'Shogeg Mischala. So Hekdesh, if I do so intentionally, it's mechulal. It becomes deconsecrated. Why? Because I violated me'ilah. B'shogeg ein mischalal. And if I do so b'shogeg, it's ein mischalal. Meaning, basically, Barpada and Ula are basically working with the same thought process as Rav Yochanan. This is the correct way to understand Rabbi Meir. And as I pointed out yesterday, now as we're going to see right now inside the Gemara, you have to ask the following question. What? How could it be? How could it be that according to Rav Meir, b'shogeg, there's no me'ilah? It can't be. Meaning that can't be a correct conclusion. Because again, you read the Pesukim in the Torah says that Me'ilah occurs when a person is Shogeg. So how you can't... What we're doing over here is really running counter to what the Torah teaches us. The Torah teaches us that when a person inadvertently takes Hekdesh and misappropriates it, so then it's Yotzei L'chulin. And meanwhile, the Gemara is saying, well, the Shita Rav Meir is only if you do it B'mezid, not B'shogeg. It can't be. So here now, what we're going to do is we're going to complete the sentence. Meaning, I mentioned this yesterday, now we're doing it. And that is that the Shita Rav Meir is that we're not saying that there's never Me'ilah by Shogeg. What we're saying is that under, I don't want to say most circumstances, but under many circumstances, there's not going to be me'ilah by shogeg. V'lo amr b'shogeg mischalal, ela le'inyin karmen belvad. So the Gemara says, well, when we're talking about me'ilah b'shogeg, we're only speaking relative to the need to bring a karban me'ilah, after having violated the isser. But the Gemara says, but wait one second, that doesn't make any sense. V'yimei'achar de'emes chalal karban b'may mechayev. Well, I don't understand. If the item did not become deconsecrated, therefore you didn't violate the Isra Me'ilah, therefore you don't have to bring a carbon Me'ilah. I don't understand. Everything is connected. Either you violated Me'ilah or you didn't violate Me'ilah. And if you did violate Me'ilah, you got to bring a carbon. And if you didn't violate Me'ilah, then you don't have to bring a carbon. So now the Gemara says we need that statement needs to be clarified. Ella, he also a Ravin Parish Mishmei Debar Pada. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he gives clarification and it goes like this. Omer Hayah Rabbi Meir. So once again, let's repeat the statement of Rav Meir. If I do so intentionally, chulin. If I do so unintentionally, it's not yotzei lechulin. V'lo amr b'shogeg mischalal ela le'inyan achila b'vad. However, even according to Rav Meir, there will be a case where there will be me'ila b'shogeg, and that is consumption. If I take an item and consume the item, so then there will be me'ila by shogeg. So for example, let's say you have, now it's easiest to talk about food, although it doesn't have to be limited to food, but food is just a simple example because then we could use the word echila literally. Let's say that I have a loaf of bread, and you're a makdish loaf of bread, the loaf of bread belongs to Hekdesh, and now you eat it. Bishogeg, you do so unintentionally. According to Rameh, you violated the Isser of Me'ila. The only time you're not violating the Isser of Me'ila, Bishogeg, according to Rameh, is when you don't consume the item. So for example, money. I have money belonging to Hekdesh, and I use it to buy an item. And at the time when I buy, I forget that the item, that the money belongs to Hekdesh. So there, I'm not consuming the money. I'm just simply bartering. It's a transfer. It's an exchange. Money for something else. So there, since I did a bishogeg, Rameh will say, it's not yotzei lechulin. Okay, adkan. That now completes the sentence. That now we have a fuller understanding, a complete understanding of Rameh. Rameh says that when it comes to the Isser of Me'ila, b'mezid, a person is mol behekdesh if he does so intentionally. And bishogeg, it depends. If the item that he is moel is going to be consumed, so then he is violating the Isser of Me'ila with all the ramifications. If the item is not going to be consumed, like transferring of money, exchanging money for something else, so then bishogeg, it's not going to be, and the Isser of Me'ila will not have transpired. Therefore, according to Rameh, a man takes hektish money, hands it over to a woman and says, I want to be mekadesh you with this money that belongs to hektish, but he at the time forgot that it belonged to hektish. There's no money's not yotzei lechulin. The kedushin is not valid. That is the shita of Rav Meir, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Ula, according to Bar Pada, and this goes against Rav's understanding. With all that stated, now let us ask the simple question: who does the halacha follow like? Who does the halacha follow like when it comes to Maaser Sheni? And who does the halacha follow like when it comes to the Isser of Me'ila and a person being mekadesh using hektish? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ada Ba'ava. Halacha k'Rameir. So, a bit Meiser, thank you. So the halacha falls like Rameir when it comes to the issue of Meiser Sheni. Because as we're going to see in just a moment, there is a Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, that follows like the opinion of Rameir. V'halacha Rav Yehuda behekdesh, and the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda when it comes to hekdesh. So, the Gemara says very clearly that because we're going to see Stam Mishnayos, we're going to see anonymous Mishnayos in just a moment, so we know that in Meiser Sheni, Mama Gavoa. We know that by Hektesh, we go like Rav Yehuda, which means there's only Me'ila B'Shogeg, not B'Mezin. So now let's acquaint ourselves with these Mishnayos. Karameh B'Meiser, Mahi did not. So the Gemara says, let's take a look now at a Stam Mishnah that's going to follow like Rav Meir when it comes to Meiser Sheni. Now this Mishnah, oddly enough, is not talking about Meiser Sheni. So it's going to be funny that we're going to use a Mishnah that's not talking about Meiser Sheni and teach us that there's a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir when it comes to Meiser Sheni. So this Mishnah is talking about Kerem Ravai, a vineyard in the fourth year. First 3 years, that vineyard is what's called Arla. You can't eat the fruit or benefit from the fruit during those first 3 years. The fruit that come off that vine are have the status of Arla. Fourth year, so the fruit of that fourth year has the status of Kerem Ravai. What do you have to do? Basically, the same thing you do with Meiser Sheni. Take it to Yerushalayim, eat it in Yerushalayim, or if that's a little taxing, so then poda, redeem it onto money, take the money to Yerushalayim and spend the money on food in Yerushalayim. So this is the halacha of Kerem Ravai. And basically, because Kerem Ravai shares the same halachas as Meiser Sheni, so whatever we're going to say regarding Kerem Ravai is going to be true regarding Meiser Sheni. That's the connection. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Kerem Ravai, Beishamah Omim, Ein Lo Chomash Ein Lo Bir. According to Beit Shammai, when you redeem Kerem Ravai, you don't have to add on another 25%. Now, that's not true by Meiser Sheni. By Meiser Sheni, you have to add on a Chomash. But Beit Shammai says, not when it comes to Kerem Ravai. Additionally, Ein Labir. We know that after the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, so there's a mitzvah of Bir Meiser. So you have to not only take stock basically do an accounting and auditing of all the produce that grew over the last 3 years, but make sure that you took off all trumas and maisers, so that therefore you can make at the end of the third and sixth year the declaration, BRTS HaKodesh Min HaBayis. I got rid of everything. I took care of all trumas and maisers. When it comes to Kerem Revai, so Ein Lo Bir. There's no deadline of the end of the third and the end of the sixth year. This is all the Shita of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim Yeshlo. And Beis Shammai says no. Beis Shammai says it's subject to adding a chumash when you redeem it, and it's subject to the rules of a beer of beer maestros. Beis Shammai Omrim Yeshlo Per V'Yeshlo Olos. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that if there are little grapes that fell off or unripe, undeveloped grapes, so they belong to the aniyim. Basically, according to Beis Shammai, you know what this field is? It's yours. And like all fields that belong to you, you have to take off certain portions of it to the aniyim. So Beit Shammai says, so therefore this vineyard is going to have the halachas of Pered and Ololos. And Beit Hillel Omrim, Kula Lagas. And Beit Hillel says, no. All the grapes, every one of them, go to the vat and are used to make wine for the halacha Kerem Revai. And you know why? Because it's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. You only need to take off matanas aniyim off the produce that belongs to you. This doesn't belong to you. And because it doesn't belong to you, so therefore, all of it's going to go to the vat. My time to Beis Hillel, Gamri Kodesh Kodesh Mi Meiser. And here's the key. According to Beis Hillel, we learn out Exer Shefer from Meiser. Ma Meiser Yeshlo Chamash Yeshlo Beer. Av Kerem Vai Yeshlo Chamash Yeshlo Beer. So just like Meiser Sheni has the halachas of Chamash and Beer, so too does Kerem Revai. U Beis Shammai Lo Gamri Kodesh Kodesh Mi Meiser. And Beis Shammai simply does not have that Exer Shefer. U Beis Hillel Omrim Kem Meiser Kem Man Tzvir. Now, when Beis Hillel says that it's like Meiser Sheni, so whose position is he adopting when he says it's like Meiser Sheni? Well, you have two options. It's either going to be Rav Meir or it's going to be Rav Yehuda. Now, admittedly, of course, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel come well before Rabbi Meir and Rav Yehuda, but in other words, the Gemara is assuming that the machlok is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. It didn't start with them, but it must have. It must have came through a Masora. But Iker Rav Yehuda my Kula Lagas. If they're subscribing to Rav Yehuda, how could you take all the grapes and throw it into the vat? And you don't have to give off Matanus Aniyim? Ha'amar Meiser Mamon Hedjud Hu. According to Rav Yehuda, Meiser is Mamon Hedjud. It's yours. So just like Meiser Sheni is yours, Kerem Revai should also be yours, and therefore you should give off Matanus Aniyim. The fact that this Mishnah says that you don't give off Matanus Aniyim, what is that telling you? It's not yours. Ella Lavka Rav Meir. So it must be that this Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Rashi makes the obvious point over here. Let's make it. And that is, what did the Gemara introduce us this Mishnah as? A Stam Mishnah. It's not really a Stam Mishnah. The Mishnah is a Machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So Rashi says you have to say it. Rashi does say it. That this Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Meaning that when you have a Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, B'makom Beis Hillel, ain't no Mishnah. So Beis Shammai's position is just simply not... I mean, obviously, it's Torah. It's part of the corpus of Torah. But in terms of halacha, it's simply disregarded. So therefore, this Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Meiser Sheni, Mamon Gavoa. That's number one. Number two. Kerev Yehuda beHekdesh Mahi. Now we're looking for a Stam Mishnah that's teaching us that when it comes to Hekdesh and the Isser of Me'ila, we're going to follow like Rev Yehuda. Again, Rev Yehuda says, when is a person Mol beHekdesh? Only B'Shogeg, not B'Mezid. And so now we have a Mishnah. So, Dinan Shilach B'Apikech V'Nizgar Shalo Yigei So Chenvani Chenvani Malach Hashiyotzi. So let's say you have the following. The Gizbar gives money to a Shliach. Gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously responsible for the money coming in and going out of the Beis HaMikdash. So he, for him it's a pretty serious mistake, but he forgot. He forgot that the money that he has currently in his hand right now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and he handed it to a Shliach. And as Rashi over here points out, the Shliach too did not know that the money belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. So now you have the Gizbar, you have the Shliach, and then the money is given over to the Chenvani. And the Chenvani, the storekeeper, is now going to take the money and use the money. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say, V'nizkar, let's say, before the Chenvani actually spent the money, you had a Hazkara, meaning the Gizbar no longer forgot, he remembered. He remembered that the money that he gave to the Shliach belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So now, from the Gizbar standpoint, he's no longer in the category of Shogeg. He's now in the category of Mazid. And as Rashi points out over here, the Shliach also remembered. Meaning, I guess the Gizbar Rashi doesn't say this part, but I guess the Gizbar tapped the Shliach on the shoulder. It's like, you have that money I gave you? Shliach's like, no, I gave it to the Chenvani already. So now the Shliach is in the know as well. So now, the Gizbar and the Shliach both are in a state of awareness that this money that the Gizbar gave to the Shliach and the Shliach then turned around and gave to the Chenvani is... belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. So right now, Gizbar is in a state of Mazid, Shliach is in a state of Mazid, and there's only one person who's still not in the know, and that is the Chenvani. The Mishnah says, Chenvani ma'al l'chishiyotzi. When the Chenvani takes that money and spends that money for something, so he and only he is in violation of the Isser of Me'ilah. What is this Mishnah basically telling us? That you only are violating Me'ilah when you're in a state of Shogeg, not when you're in a state of Mazin. So, that Mishnah, to stop Mishnah and Me'ilah, that Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Rav Yehuda, not Rebbe Meir. Okay, Ad Kan. That takes us to...
If at the time he did it, he was Mazin, how could afterwards make sure...
Well, all he did was...
At the time he made that act.
He just handed it over to the Shliach.
That's not enough of an action.
So it's not enough of an action. Just to hand it over to somebody is not enough of an action. It has to be spent. You have to transfer for something. Okay. So the what do we have right now? We have a Mishnah and Me'ilah going like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Hekdesh and the Isser of Me'ilah. Now, Uchi Rabbi Yehuda Behekdesh, I read that already, I'm sorry. Uchi Rabbi Yehuda Ben Meister Milo Tanan. The Gemara says, okay, but we haven't exhausted our Mishnayos. The Gemara says, let's learn another Mishnah together, and it goes like this. Vahat Tanan. Hapodem Meister Sheni Shalom. If a person is redeeming Meister Sheni, a person's redeeming his own Meister Sheni. Bain. Sorry. Hapodem Meister Sheni Shalom Mosif Alav Chamishi So. So he has to add on 25%. I know we've gone over this time and again. Chomish is 20%, but the fraction is after the addition. It comes out to 25%. Bein Mishlo Bein Shenitan Lo Bematana, whether it belongs to him or whether it was given to him as a gift, you have to add another 25%. Now, we're talking now about Meister Sheni that was gifted to you. Let's think about that. Let's digest that for just a moment. Who can give you Meister Sheni as a gift? If it's Mamon Gavoa, no one, you cannot give something that does not belong to you. The only way you can gift something is if it's yours. The fact that this Mishnah, to stop Mishnah, is talking about gifting Meister Sheni, so that must mean it's Mamon Balim, not Mamon Gavoa. Mani Ilema Reb Meir Hi Mimasi Yavle B'Matana. According to Reb Meir, you can't gift Meister Sheni, Vahamar Meister Mamon Gavohu. Elalav Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be that this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So now I just showed you, Stam Mishnah, that's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Lo Olam Rabbi Meir Hi. So no, the Gemara says, maybe we could say that Mishnah is really going like Rabbi Meir. Vahacha b'mayaskinan kigon diyavni alei b'tivlei. So the Gemara says that maybe over there we're talking about where it was gifted in a state of Tevel. And this takes us to a question which comes up again and again, and that's the following. I have latent Meister Sheni in produce. Latent because the person didn't take off Chumas Meisters. So I have latent Meister Sheni. Also, if it's Tevel, there's also latent Meister Rishon, and there's also latent Truma as well. But right now we're just focusing on Meister Sheni. I have latent Meister Sheni in produce. So, do we see the Meister Sheni there now, or do we not see it at all? Okay, it's a simple question that comes up time and again. Right now, we're going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Matno Shalo Hormo Kamisha Hormo Damyan. We're going to say Kamisha Lo Hormo Damyan. We're going to say right now that latent Chumas Amaitros is as if it's not there. And it only realizes only when I actually take off Shumas Amaitros. That's the Shita that we're going to be assuming in that Mishnah. So therefore, question. According to Rav Meir, can I give Meister Sheni? The answer, yeah, there is a way. Meaning, if I gift it while it's in a state of tevel, it's a little bit of a dochik pshat. Meaning, in a state of tevel, it's late in Meiser Sheni. To even call it Meiser Sheni is a little misleading. But point being is that it has Meiser Sheni in there, just hasn't been realized yet. And because it will have Meiser Sheni, so therefore I can currently gift it. Because it hasn't realized yet, and right now we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Matna Shalohorma Kemishalohorma Damian. Okay, Tashma. Let's take a look at another Mishnah. Hapod Neto Ravai Shalom Mosiv Lachamishasa Bein Mishloah Bein Shnitel Lam Bein Matana. Same basic Mishnah, same basic question. It's just that this Mishnah is talking about fourth year vineyard. But as we already pointed out, fourth year vineyard has the same status as Meister Sheni. Money. According to Rav Meir, Neta Revai has the same halach as Meister Sheni. Alalav Rav Yehuda. So it must be that the Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. La'olam Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about Rav Meir. Now here we cannot give the same answer that we gave previously. Because previously we were talking about Meister Sheni. So you can have a conversation about latent Meister Sheni within Tevel. Over here we're talking about fourth year produce. Fourth year produce, that's it. It's fourth year produce. So, what answer could the Gemara give? The Gemara gives an answer over here. Kagon Diyav Kishu Smadar. What happened over here is that the grapes were gifted in a very immature state. The grapes were just developing, and at a point of just really early grape development on the vine, Udaloka Rav Yossi, Da Amar Smadar, Asamim Neshu Pri. Now, it happens to be that the opinion of Rav Yossi is that Smadar has the status of Pri, and therefore subject to the Isser of Arla, or in this case, Neta Ravai. However, we're not subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi, and therefore these Smadar, in their very immature state, can be gifted. Tashma. Let's do one more Mishnah together. Again, we're looking for Mishnayos that speak to whether the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir, when it comes to Meiser Sheni. Mashachimena Meiser Bisela Velo Hispik Lifdoso Ad She'amad Bishtayim. A person wants to both buy and deconsecrate Meiser Sheni. And so what does he do? So at the time of the transaction, so it was selling at a seller. And so what he did is, they contracted the price, he did the Meshicha. Now remember, Meshicha is a kinyan, but that's only when people are transacting things that they own. If you're making transactions with the Beis HaMikdash or with Hekdesh, when is the critical point of transaction? Money. So right now, we're talking about buying and deconsecrating Meiser Sheni. At the time of the Meshicha, it was valued at a sela, velo hizbik liftoso ad she'amad b'shtayim. But when you came time to actually pay, it went up a real spike in price, and it now goes for two selaim. No sein sela umistakir b'sela. So how much do you pay? You pay only one sela, not two selaim. Now, Meiser Sheni Shalom, and the Meiser Sheni belongs to you. Now, what did that Mishnah just show us? It showed us that the critical point in terms of setting the price was going to be the Meshicha, not the time that you actually pay. So if it's the Meshicha, so what level are we operating with? Are we operating Bein Adam L'Chavero or Bein Adam L'Beis HaMikdash? Clearly, it's been Adam L'Chaveiro. Money. Elamer Rav Meir, Amai Mistaker B'Sela, V'Nasa Nasek Esav V'Kamlo Amar Chmana. According to Rav Meir, Meiser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. So basically, that's a transaction that you're doing with the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Meshicha is irrelevant. The critical point is when you actually pay. So, that Mishnah is not speaking to the opinion of Rav Meir, Elalav Rav Yehuda. So that Mishnah is speaking to the opinion of Rav Yehuda. This is a transaction between Adam Lechavero. The Meiser Sheni is owned by the person. It's not Mamon Gavoa. And that's why Meshicha becomes critical. Okay, so now we have just learned together a Mishnah, Tzastam Mishnah, that's telling us that Meiser Sheni is Mamon Balim, not Mamon Gavoa. So now, where was the starting point of today's shiur? That we know that when Meiser Sheni, the halacha is like Rav Meir. Why? Because we have a Stam Mishnah going like Rav Meir. The Gemara says, okay, but we just learned together a Stam Mishnah that's going like Rav Yehuda. That presents a problem. La'olam Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, I'm going to concede that last Mishnah we just learned together is going like Rav Yehuda. I have nothing to say about that. V'hacha chad stama v'hacha trei stame. So the Gemara says it's now a question of how many Stam Mishnayos. One versus two. The Mishnah that we learned above is said over, not once in Shas, but it's repeated twice in Shas. So the Gemara says, because of that, so therefore we're going to favor that Mishnah because it's repeated twice in Shas. And over the Mishnah we just learned together where it only comes up one time in Shas. The Gemara says, Mali Chatzam, Mali Treistam. The Gemara says, really? That's going to be significant in terms of how many times the Mishnah said over? One time, two times, if it's the same Mishnah. So it's really one versus one. Why is it one versus two? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Halacha Kara Meir, Hov Etanan Bebechirta Kavaseh. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I'm still going to favor the opinion of Rav Meir that my Sosheni is Mamun Gavoa. Why? Because even though it's the same Mishnah, but it's repeated where? Location is obviously very important. It's repeated in Mishnah Adios. In the Mishnayos and Adios, this Mishnah came up a second time. Not the Mishnah we just learned. The Mishnah previously. The Mishnah came up a second time in Masechta Adios. And as a result of that, that is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi tipping his hat to us and telling us that this is in fact the Halacha. Mishnah Adios, the Mishnayos Adios, do you see what the Gemara referred to it as? The Gemara referred to it as Bechirta. Right? The chosen Mishnayos. Take a look at the last Rashi on the Amud. Rashi says, Masechus Adios Kari Bechirta. Masechta Adios goes by the nickname of the chosen Mishnayos. Why? Shekol Divrei Em Heidu Mipia Gedolim V'alach Kamosam. Because all these are testimonies coming out of the mouths of Gedolim. And so therefore, they are not just in the Beis Medrash learning, but they are broadcasting these positions. They're testifying about these positions. And therefore, if you have a Stam Mishnah in Adios, so therefore, even though you have Stam Mishnayos elsewhere in Shas, we're going to follow the Stam Mishnah in Adios. Okay. We are at the same place where we started this morning, just a little more clarification. By Meister Sheni, the halacha is like Rav Meir, where it is Mamun Gavoa. Meister Sheni is Mamun Gavoa. Therefore, like the Mishnah taught us back on in Beis Amid Beis, if a man is Mekadosh a woman using Meister Sheni money, it's not a valid Kiddushin. Although the Mishnah brought in the Machlokas, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, but we go like Rav Meir. Tanan Hasam. Okay, we are now on the top of today's Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and we are going to be learning together Mishnah Shkalim. And really, for the duration of today, the entirety of today's Daf is basically, how do I understand this Mishnah Shkalim? Now, I know we did this Mishnah Shkalim. I'd say not that long ago, but that's not really true. We did it now in Daf Yomi a long time ago, all right, almost 3 years ago. But this Mishnah Shkalim we saw together in the Daf, and basically what we're going to see is a Mishnah Shkalim. It's going to be discussing the topic of Hekdesh. Now again, by Hekdesh we know it's a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, whether there's Hekdesh b'shogeg or Hekdesh is b'mezid. According to Rav Yehuda, whether there's Me'ila b'shogeg or Me'ila b'mezid. According to Rav Yehuda, there's only Me'ila b'shogeg, not b'mezid. According to Rav Meir, Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Meir, which I told you will be the balance of today's daf, there's only Me'ila b'mezid, not b'shogeg. And now we're gonna. And what did we say earlier this morning? We said that in the area of Me'ila, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that there's only Me'ila b'shogeg, not b'mezid. Now basically what we're going to do is we're going to see this Mishnah Shkalim together. We're going to learn the Mishnah Shkalim. And seemingly, this Mishnah Shkalim is going to favor the viewpoint of Rav Meir, not Rav Yehuda. And that's not going to sit well with us because the Gemara earlier said that's not the halacha. The halacha is by Me'ila, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's only Me'ila b'shogeg, not b'mezid. And that's going to be our problem. We're going to offer a couple of pshatim in this Mishnah in Shkalim that's going to avoid that conclusion. And that's the rest of today's daf. Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah over there. Behemesh Anim says, Mi Yerushalayim, Lamigdal Eder, Ukimida Salachol Ruach. So let's say you find an animal within a radius of Yerushalayim. Okay, I don't know what the radius is. It's wherever Migdal Eder is. But basically draw a line from Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder and then take that radius and then draw a circumference using that radius. And if you find an animal within that perimeter, so then that animal is most probably a carbon. A carbon that lost its way. And so now, you being the good guy that you are, you now have come across an animal that's a carbon. You don't know where the owner is. What do you do with such an animal? That is what the Mishnah Shkalim is coming to discuss. Behemesh Anim says, Mi Yerushalayim Lamigdal Eder Kamida Salachol Ruach Zicharim. If it's a male animal, Olos. So then you're going to bring it as a carbon ola. Nikevos Zivchei Shlamim. If it's a female animal, so you bring it as a karmish lamin.
Why not kaka?
This Mishnah cannot be learned kipshuta. Because this Mishnah says, well, if it's a male animal, well, for sure it's an ola. Really? It could be a shlamim. And could be, right, it could be a lot of things. And this Mishnah is telling us that if it's a female, well, for sure it's a shlamim. Again, really?
It can't be an ola.
Right, the female can't be an ola. That part's true. But it could be other things, though. It doesn't necessarily just have to be a shlamim. It could be a carbon chatas, meaning just because we know the gender of the animal doesn't necessarily mean that we know what carbon it is. Okay, so you're good. You're already holding by the Gemara coming up. So, but still, the Mishnah Kipshuto cannot be. Meaning, if it's a female animal, so it can't be an ola. But if it's a male animal, it certainly can be a shlamim. So what does it mean? You're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to offer it with an assumption that the female animal is a shlamim. I'm sorry, that the male animal is an ola? The Gemara asks exactly that question. Gemara says, I don't understand. You come across a male animal within this radius, so you mean to tell me that we're going to assume that it's an ola? Could be a shlamim. Okay, so Amar Rav Oshia. So here now we're going to work with two pshatim in the Gemara. One being Rabbi Yoshia's pshat, which is going to create problems, meaning problems because we said that there's no Stam Mishnah that goes like Rav Meir by Me'ila, and now according to Rav Oshia's pshat, that's not going to seem to be true. And there's going to be a second pshat, which we'll say later this morning. But right now, we're going to go with Rav Oshia's pshat. I'm Rav Oshia Acha Bebalachov Bidmehem Askina. So Rav Oshia says that basically, this Mishnah and Shkalim, of course you're not going to bring the animal as a carbon. Because you cannot just simply assume that if it's a male animal, it's an ola. Could be a shlamim. So that's not what you're going to do. But rather, what you're going to do is you're going to do the following. You're going to take upon yourself to redeem this animal. Now, both you and I know that this animal has Kedusha Saguf. And the idea of redeeming an animal that has Kedusha Saguf should make us balk. And that should be the right reaction. But for the time being, right now in the daf, let's assume we could do that. We can redeem this animal even with its Kedusha Saguf. And basically now this person is going to do the following. V'hachi kamar. What the Mishnah is telling us is the following. This is again Rav Oshia's Pshat in the Mishnah Shkalim. Chayshin Shema Olos, we are concerned that the animal is an Ola. We're not saying it's an Ola. We're simply saying it could be an Ola. V'Rabbi Meirhi. And the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Da'amar Hektish Memezin Mischalal. So now according to Rabbi Meir, I can violate Me'ila B'mezit. In fact, according to Rabbi Meir, I can only violate Me'ila B'mezit. Although that's not totally true, as we discussed earlier this morning. Right, okay. But I can violate Me'ila B'mezit. Ukedusha Saguf. I'm sorry. Let's pause over here. So now, and as Rashi explains over here, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take this animal that you found. It's a male animal. Could be an ola. No problem at all. I will transfer its kedusha to an animal that will be a carbonola. And can you do that? Right now we're saying yes. According to Rav Meir, intentional me'ila can be done. And I'll take another animal and I'll say, you know what? With the second animal, if it's a shlamim, I will transfer its kedusha onto the second animal as a carbon shlamim. Okay. And we'll make conditions, and we'll talk more about that later on as well.
Isn't there an underlying suffix in all this to begin with? Like you're not sure, but you're assuming.
So
it's a
good question. The Gemara is assuming. The Mishnah and Shkalim is assuming that within that radius, it's not even a suffix. I understand your point. I hear your point. The Mishnah and Shkalim is working with that assumption. Kedusha Saguf Mimischala. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. The animal does not have Kedusha Zamim, it has Kedusha Saguf. It's intrinsically Kadosh. Can you do that? Can you just simply remove the Kedusha of a carbon? That's Kedusha Saguf. And the Gemara says, and we can't. We know we can't. It's a Mishnah. That's a non-Mishnah Me'ila in Molach and Molal B'Mukdashin. There is no repeat Me'ila when it comes to Mukdashim. animals, or not, this halacha is not limited to animals, but anything that has kedusha zaguf. It just happens to be most of the time it's animals that has kedusha zaguf. But a kli can have kedusha zaguf. Let's say, for example, it's a kli sharis. Kli sharis has kedusha zaguf, and therefore there is no multiple me'ila. And you know why? It's very simple, because the because with kedusha zaguf, it never is yotzei lechulin. And because it's not Yotzei Lechulin, there wasn't a first Me'ila, there won't be a second Me'ila. In other words, Ein Malachim Ela B'Mugdashim Ela B'Behema V'Kli Sharis Bavad. In other words, in general, once you violate Me'ila, it's Yotzei Lechulin. You can't do it again. However, something with Kedusha Saguf, so there, you could violate Me'ila, you could violate Me'ila again, because something with Kedusha Saguf is not Yotzei Lechulin. So for example, Ketzad. Haya rochev agabe behema, bachaver v'rachav bachavero, v'rachav kulam. So let's say you have an animal that's a carbon, and you basically sell, you ride the animal, somebody else rides the animal, and each person who's riding the animal, getting benefit from the animal, is violating the Isser of Me'ila, misappropriating the animal for their own personal use. And because it's a carbon, so therefore the kedusha does not leave the animal, and that's why you can have one person after another violating the Isser of Me'ila. It's a gold cup, meaning klisharis. They all are violating the Isra Me'ila. This Mishnah Me'ila is basically teaching us that when it comes to Mukdashim, with Kedusha Saguf, it stays in status of Kedusha Saguf. And so therefore, what are we, Rav Oshia, what are you saying that Pshat and Shkalim? You're saying that you're going to take an animal that has Kedusha Saguf and you're just going to deconsecrate it? You can't. Now, Hahi Rav Yehuda he. So the Gemara says, well, let's slow down. Maybe that Mishnah Me'ila is going like Rav Yehuda. Maybe our Mishnah Shkalim is going like Rav Meir. Maybe Rav Yehuda says you can't, but maybe Rav Meir says you can. So the Gemara says, Ha Rav Meir. So mid Rav Yehuda, Nishmal Rav Meir. The Gemara says, I don't understand. I don't see a difference between their positions in this regard. Lava Amar Rav Yehuda, Hektish B'Shogim Mischalo Kedusha Saguf La Mischalo. La Rav Meir Nami, Afagav De Hektish B'Meizim Mischalo Kedusha Saguf La Mischalo. Just like by Rav Yehuda, if something has Kedusha Saguf, you cannot extract that Kedusha from it. According to a mayor, I'll say the same thing. You can't extract the Kedusha from it. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe we can make a difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Hasam lo kemechavein la'afkeinu lechulin. No. When it comes to Rav Yehuda, remember, when are we talking about Me'ila? Only Bishogig, according to Rav Yehuda. So there it was unintentional. So unintentional removal of Kedusha from Kedusha Zaguf cannot happen. But remember, we're talking about Rav Meir. According to a mayor, you could be moel b'mezid. So you're intentional. So maybe according to a mayor, intentional removal of kedusha, even by kedusha saguf, would work. Hacha kamechavein la'afkin l'chulin. Here, you're intent on removing the kedusha. Eima d'shamalei l'rav meir b'kachim kadashim b'kachim kalim mishamalei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that's true when it comes to Kodesh Kedashim, Karban Ola. But would it be true by Kachim Kalam as well? Amalei Ahu Me'rabanav Rav Yaakov Shmei Kavachomer. Gemara says, yeah, yes. Kachim Mischalim Kachim Kalam Lo Kol Shekein. If I could be Mechalo Kachim, which has more Kedusha, it's a very simple Kavachomer. In fact, it's such a simple Kavachomer, the Havamin is hard to understand. But if I could be Mechalo Kachim, which has more Kedusha, I could for sure be Mechalo Kachim that has even less Kedusha. Eid Marnami, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Akiva, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Omer Hayar Meir, Hektish, Bemezim, Mischala, Beshogeg, Ein Mischala. Echad Kachim Kachim, Echad Kachim Kalim Kavachomer. Kachim Kachim, Mechalim, Kachim Kalim, Lokol Shekein. And the Gemara quotes another Amora, who also has the same basic logical argument. If you could be Mechala, according to a mayor, Bemezit, Kachim Kachim, you for sure could be Mechala, Kachim Kalim as well.
What happens to the Rabbi Yosef?
That
still belongs to the owner.
Okay, so fine. That's a Shita. The Gemara over here is not regarding it.
I would assume maybe the other way. Sure, you do anything,
you know, okay, right. In other words, clearly the Gemara had a Havamina. Right. That the Kavachomer is not good. So, Yes, yes. And with more time, you can try to speak more to the Havamin of the Gemara. Okay. So now, what are we saying? So let's now. There was a lot of trees over here. Let's not lose the forest. What we're saying is the following: we have a Mishnah Shkalim. You find an animal. The animal somewhere within the radius of Yerushalayim. It's a carbon. What do you do? So the Mishnah says you bring it as a carbon. You don't bring it as a carbon. You don't know. If it's a male animal, it could be an ol, it could be a shlamim. What do you mean you bring it as a carbon? So what you do, so this is now Rav Oshia's Pshat in that Mishnah Shkalim, is you deconsecrate the animal. You bring another pair of animals, you deconsecrate the animal. If it's an ola, here, I have a male animal. If it's a shlamim, so here, I'm going to deconsecrate onto a shlamim. And again, with the tonight, with the condition of the other animal.
It's not tomorrow.
No. You're deconsecrating.
But the concept of lishma for a korban, it has to be offered by lishma by the owner. If there's no, you don't even know who the owner is. How could it be lishma?
Outside of a korban chatas, the animal, the korban's still going to be a valid korban. Okay. So and so now with Rav Oshia's pshat in the Mishnah Shkalim, what is the problem? To put it very succinctly, the problem is we now have a stam Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Shkalim that's following the viewpoint of Reb Meir. Remember, the whole daf today started with. Well, we know by Hekfish, Allah falls like Rav Yehuda. Why? Because we have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Yehuda. It's not true. We've just learned a Mishnah in Shkalim that with Rav Oshia's Pshat, it's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Taiba, Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says, wow, that Pshat in the Mishnah in Shkalim is really difficult. Why? V'chi omrim lo la'adam amod v'chatei b'shvil shetizkeh. What is this good person doing, the finder of this lost carbon? He's deconsecrating an animal. He's basically doing me'ilah and deconsecrating an animal. Wait one second. I understand he's a good guy and he wants to do the right thing. But you shouldn't be doing an avera to help another friend out. The Gemara in Shabbos says this in the very beginning, right? We do not say to a person, "Amod v'chatei," you should sin, b'shul shetizkeh, so that somebody else is going to get off the hook from having lost an animal, not knowing where it is. So you shouldn't do this. So Rav Yochanan basically says, I have a really difficult time accepting Rav Oshia's pshat in that Mishnah Shkalim. So what we'll do, we'll start this tomorrow morning, is we're going to offer now our second pshat in that Mishnah Shkalim. With that second pshat in the Mishnah Shkalim, so then really it's no longer talking about Me'ilah. And once it's no longer talking about Me'ilah, so then issue resolved. Meaning now we only have one Stam Mishnah and Shas going like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's only Me'ilah by Shogig, not B'mezid. And so therefore, right, problem avoided. Let's quickly recap. We saw this morning. No, Amr, what? El Amr of Yochanan.
Right.
No, but it goes on. In other words, the answer goes on to the end of the Amr. It's going to be his understanding of the Mishnah Shkalim. Okay, let's recap. So we saw today, again, the Machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda by Me'ilah. Whether or not there's Me'ilah B'Shogeg, that's Shitas Rav Yehuda, or there's only Me'ilah B'Mezid, that's Shitas Rav Meir. And by Meister Sheni, Rav Meir holds that Meister Sheni is Mamon Gavoa, Rav Yehuda holds that Meister Sheni is Mamon Balam. The Gemara says Halacha. Halacha is by Meister Sheni like Rabbi Meir, Meister Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. Because we have Stam Mishnah going like Rav Meir. By Hekdesh, the Gemara says Halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that there's only Me'ilah by Shogig, not B'mezid, because we have a Stam Mishnah going like Rabbi Yehuda. The rest of today's daf revolved around a Mishnah Shkalim, where according to Rav Oshia, the correct Pshat in the Mishnah is that you're going to do Me'ilah B'mezid. In order to save a carbon, in order to allow a carbon to be offered in the base of Mikdash, to which Rav Yochanan says that's not the correct pshat in that Mishnah. I can't imagine that someone is encouraged to do Me'ilah so that somebody else will be helped out. So therefore, what we'll see tomorrow is that Rav Yochanan is going to give another pshat in that Mishnah, and so therefore the Mishnah is not speaking at all to the Shita of Rabbi Meir.